Have you thought about your third act and the deeper questions that come after the transition of what you did before in your life and what's next? When Mickey Hay was introduced to me, I knew immediately that she was a good fit for Mystical Sisterhood. She's the founder of Thriving in the Third Act and Third Act Leadership, coaching for individuals navigating that profound, often uncharted space that comes through big transitions such as retirement. With a rich background in leadership development, Mickey has spent her career helping people step into the fullest potential at work. But somewhere along the way, she noticed something significant. We plan obsessively for our financial retirement and almost not at all for how we'll actually live. It's living a life by design rather than just of default, and it's a distinction that changes everything. Mickey's work blends tools that are both grounded and mystical. She weaves in the guidance that comes through her to ask life-changing questions, ones that often leave clients feeling seen and heard like never before. Join me in this timely conversation about knowing yourself, leading and living from the inside out, and feeling joy in all the days of your life. Welcome to the podcast, and we'll see you in the episode. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman, and I'm really excited today to be meeting with, sitting with Mickey Hay, who was introduced to me by Amy Hierman. I love the shout out. And when I was thinking about this meeting and her introduction early on in the podcast, I said, Amy, would you want to come on? And she said, oh, no, Maureen, here's this other possible guest. And so I was laughing to myself that, and as she listens to me say this, that someday she will sit with me to share what she's up to too, which I know is rich and magical. But Mickey, I welcome you here. We've only met once to kind of like tap into your story and what you're up to. But I know you to be, and correct me for any part of this that's kind of off or not quite accurate, but to have worked in corporate fields in leadership with leaders, and I feel like in guiding and training, and then transitioning your life skills coupled with your work skills into helping people in what maybe you most often call their third act. Yeah. But that transition between the bridge and the transition to what does life look like when I'm not doing what I did consider as my life's work any longer. Yeah. So I think there's multidimensional parts to this, like that you're up to that we can dive into. But I'll just say that and say welcome and thank you for being here. I can't wait for this conversation.
Same. Yeah, absolutely. Great. Thank you for having me.
And I know you too, also to just put in the pot right now is that there is the part of you too that's very grounded in the human. But it's not only about that. It's about like pulling in guidance for where it's coming from. And I always do the blessing or intention settings before we start the recording. And you had said, may our guides work together so that we can co-create what's meant to be co-created here, which is such a beautiful intention.
That's interesting that you outed me right away, Maureen, that I work with guides. I love it. But it's actually when I'm coaching someone, I ask that the same thing happen, whether the person is aware that they're being guided. And I'm speaking to all sorts of guides, which can also simply be the inner guidance that everyone has, that small voice that seems to be sometimes wiser than our ego. And so I'm always speaking to that part. Because it's interesting when I give myself over to that. Well, let me just say that a number of my clients have said to me something along the lines of, you know, you've asked me questions that nobody in my life has ever asked me before. And some clients have said, you know, working with you, I feel seen in a way that I've never been seen before. And I know that's not coming from my ego. It's coming from a deep place of connection with the client. So I like to tap into that in every important conversation I have, which
That's
is most
beautiful.
of them.
Yeah, it's most of them. And I feel like it's the gift of the questions that only you can ask the way that they're coming through you, which probably sometimes, like I was saying to you, like I script out some questions here, but most of it, not really. And I have to imagine the process might be a little bit like that, right? Like, okay, I have my framework, but I'm going to go with the flow.
Yes. I you don't want to be hamstrung by a framework that is not in service to the person you're talking to. You have to be fluid and allow that.
And I recognized, I think early on, and I gave a shout out a lot to my friend Susan Lucci. I sat in her circles for a long time, probably when I was starting in my very late 30s. And she always asked really great questions. And I became sort of enamored with the art of the question, and that when you ask the question, people will come because they want to answer. And some people too, when you're in an intimate relationship, in this coaching relationship, right? Some people that are sitting with you may have been in a therapeutic relationship or certain similar situations where they were the center of attention and that focus, and they were able to answer the questions. But a lot of people haven't had it in that way. And I think it's almost the beauty of coaching, which is not always understood. And until someone gets into the room, it's like, wow, I had no idea that, I was going to be the spotlight, but in a beautiful way, because that leads to such self-discovery.
The other thing I think, and you experience this too in your coaching, Maureen, is that when people have an opportunity to speak freely, they hear themselves speak and they work things out by talking out loud. And so often coaching is just holding a space for somebody to do that. My agenda means nothing in those relationships. I want to be in service, and that means just giving them the space to talk through things.
That's beautiful. So you trained a lot within leadership and kind of, I'm going to use the word corporate, but
But
how
that
did you
came
get?
later.
But that came later. Is there anything you want to kind of insert about what came before the later?
Oh,
Or,
sure, absolutely. I mean, so third act leadership is part of the work that I do now in my coaching. And that comes from a PhD in leadership, but also the last 14 years of doing leadership development with organizations and corporations and anything from healthcare to construction. But I started out in higher ed. I had a 25-year career working in higher education, and it was a wonderful career, and I loved it. And I focused primarily on student development, student success, and also leadership development and faculty success. And I loved marrying the student experience with the faculty experience and really enjoyed all of the work that I did through those many years. But I have to say that I came to a point where I don't know, the career was just sort of, I'm feeling ambivalent about it, and I wasn't as happy as I used to be. And part of that was that I had moved up higher in the realm of leadership. And the higher I went in that realm, the less time I could spend with directly with students and faculty, the more it was administrative. And I just wasn't having as much of fulfillment as I had before. And that came to a head in 2012 when my contract wasn't renewed at the college that I had been working at. And, like a responsible person in her 50s, I started applying for jobs in colleges because that's what you do. You lose a job, you just pick up somewhere else doing the same thing. But I felt so ambivalent about all of these jobs that I was applying for. And I had a pivotal moment that was really pretty amazing in terms of where it sent me. But I'll never forget it. It was a night that I was hurrying down the highway for a business, not a business, a personal engagement. I was going to meet somebody for dinner. And it was after 5 o'clock on a Friday night. I was driving about 70 miles an hour on the toll road, and my phone rings. And it's this HR director for a college that I had applied to for a job. And she was asking me if we could schedule an appointment for the following week, an interview for this specific job. And I said, I'm driving really fast down the highway, and I can't look at my calendar. Can I call you on Monday morning? And she said, I really have to get this scheduled. Now here it's like 5:30 on a Friday night. So I have to
Wow.
get this scheduled. And I just kept pressing back, feeling really uncomfortable. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm also in a hurry and I have to get somewhere. So I will call you first thing Monday morning. Well, as soon as I hung up the phone, I pulled over to the side of the road and just started crying because
Wow.
I knew what she was trying to do because I had done it so many times myself, staying late on a Friday night or coming in on a Saturday or a Sunday, just trying to get caught up, trying to get everything ticked off of my list. And I just didn't want to live that way anymore. And it was then
Wow.
and there, that Friday night, that I decided I'm not going to work in this industry anymore. I'm not going to go back to higher ed.
Yep.
So that sent me on a whole new thing where I had to dig deep and figure out what's my why, what's my purpose, who am I if I'm not a vice president? I had relevance and I was known, and now I had nothing and I didn't even have a job.
Wow. Yeah.
But I mean, it was great, but
Yes.
it was
Yes.
great because that sent me off on this journey of self-discovery. That included 3 weeks in the car by myself, just driving south. I drove all the way
Okay.
to Key West. All that time in the car, thinking and talking out loud and stopping when I needed to. And then came back and worked with a coach and took all kinds of assessments and really dug deep and ultimately decided that coaching was something that was drawing me. And so I got trained in coaching. And along the way, I met somebody who had a business doing leadership development and asked me if I wanted to join her in doing some leadership work. And so
Okay.
I did coaching, I did personal coaching for people in their third act.
Yes.
And I can describe that if you need me to. And also leadership development of companies. And 14 years later, I started having that same feeling inside, like, I think I need to change my focus again. And so I'm now coaching on my own again. And because I am also looking at retirement, I'm interested in coaching people who are looking at retirement because I know what it requires.
I love that. And when you're kind of telling your kind of story about the different work environments you've been in and the skills that you were developing along the way, because I feel like those really lend to what we, even when you're talking about someone's transition to a new field or a new job, it's like we so often don't take stock of the things that we became really good at, because I was thinking, like, what do you think your archetypes are in this lifetime? It sounds like teacher would be one of them. I don't know what comes to you with that question.
Yeah, teacher, coach. Well, so I have kind of an informal title that I have given myself is retirement doula.
That's nice.
Because I
Yeah.
really do think it is delivering somebody, and and it's totally an inside job. And that's I know that when you are planning to retire, you have to have some tactical things worked out. Obviously,
Yes.
you have to make sure that financially you can retire and have some idea of what you're going to do with your time. But the real work, the real important stuff is the inside work. It's an inside job. It's existential. It's who am I? What am I per who am I without this title? And a title goes only so far, and purpose only goes so far too, if the purpose is caught up with that title and
Yes,
with how
yes.
people saw you.
Well, and that makes me think of when I was just thinking about directionality for our conversation, I was thinking about like how so many times we keep our work life separate from our home life. And then when you retire, or like you're saying, or go into your third act, they're all together, right? Like it's all one. And what do you see changes on how people used to go into their third act and what's going on now, and does that have to do with consciousness changing in the collective?
I'm not sure I can really comment on shifts in that. Let's put it this way. I think that everybody approaches retirement in a different way.
Okay.
And what I've come to realize is that the only way that I think one can be entirely successful, if they were at a high level of work that was their identity. I mean, I think some people, they do retirement just fine. You know, maybe they retire from a job that they were happy at, but they have a very rich life calling them. And maybe it includes grandchildren or travel or projects or new home or moving or all of those things. But what I'm really interested in is for people who think retirement's going to be great and then feel unmoored when they start arriving there, or they announce their retirement. Oh, and I have to go back to something that somebody said to me at the college, and I really credit her for helping me figure this out. But I remember her saying to me in real kindness, she said, "You know, Mickey, you think you're all that in a bag of chips, but I can tell you 2 years after you leave this place, people are going to say, 'Mickey, who?'" And she was right. I mean, we really do think, especially if we're at a high level of leadership, that what we do is so important and the impact that we make is so critical. But the truth is, as soon as we say that we're leaving or we're retiring, well, people start s discounting us. We're no longer invited to meetings that we used to chair. We're treated as has-beens or also-rans, you know, almost immediately. And part of that is a natural evolution in the workplace because when somebody up top leaves, that opens it up for people who've been trying to get up there too, right? So those people who are grappling with their identity and their purpose that I really want to work with, because that takes a deep level of self-awareness. And that's what leadership requires as well. Good leaders know themselves inside and out, and not in a superficial way, like, what do I want to accomplish? What are my rocks? What do I, how, what am I going to do in my third quarter and that kind of thing? That's important from a tactical standpoint, but from an identity standpoint, it must be, who am I in this world? Why am I here in this world? And it transcends the work you do. It's like, how do I show up? And what do I know about myself? And how do I communicate with others in such a way that is effective? And you know, it's just a lot of inside work that I think that people don't realize is essential.
I love that. And, you know, going back to, well, I was thinking about the art of the question when it came to you, because I think that one of the things that you, a question that you kind of comes to you when you work with people was around, you know, how do you come from the heart? How do you, versus I think career sometimes can be so cerebral, so mind oriented. But it sounds from what you're saying, I'm hearing you say that in a life defined, even if there's a balance, in a life defined by what we've done in workplaces and in the outer world, in a sense, when we go into that third act, we are tapping into our inner resources, our, you know, and asking really pertinent questions.
That's
But
it.
I think when you had said to me, like, Maureen, I tap into what's in someone's heart. And to me, like a question like that just opens up a whole treasure chest of things maybe never even considered.
And surprises. I mean, things can come up where someone realizes that something that maybe they hadn't considered for years comes to the forefront. A latent skill or talent or some dream that had called them years before that they put aside can now come back to the fore, that now that they have time and that they're not focused so much on achievement. They can, you know, like maybe it's art or maybe it's travel or maybe it's some kind of philanthropic work of some sort, you know? Really, the freedom of that, I think, around retirement it is so juicy. And I want to get at that.
Absolutely. So it's the question I didn't ask at the top, but please define third act for the audience.
Yeah, well, I think I stole it from Jane Fonda. I understand that she used that term in a TED talk quite a while ago, at least 15, maybe 20 years ago. And I think I define it the same way that she did, is that when you're growing up into adulthood, you have all these formative years, you know, maybe 18 formative years. And I consider that your first act. And then the second act is that developing who am I as an adult in the world, my career, my family life, all of that. And the third act comes somewhere. I think this might be astrological. I think it has something to do with Chiron return
Okay.
in people's charts. I've heard that recently. And it comes sometimes in people's 50s or early 60s where their life changes once again and there's a big transition. Like in a more boots on the ground kind of thing, sometimes it's a divorce or last kid leaves for college or the ending of a job or a move across country or something like that. A big transition. And it is a wonderful, potent time, this third act, to ask the big questions about life and to really dig deep. Okay, so everything's different now. I have an empty nest, or I have no spouse, or I have no job. Who am I? Who am I now?
Yes, and to live with such intention that, when they name books like The Five Regrets of the Dying or
Yeah,
those
right.
type of books where it's like, oh, like I realized in my final moments that these were the things that were important to me, or, the connections with family and loved ones and all these things. It's like, well, it feels like part of the reason we're here is to be enjoying these things each and every day that we have
Yes.
in order to wait till any sort of end, which we never know when that's going to come anyway.
Right. Right, for sure. And you said the word enjoy, and I think that for someone for well, like myself, really, that worked hard for a lot of years, it's quite a different thing to focus on, all right, so here I am. What can I do in my day-to-day life that brings me joy, that uses the best of me and gives me energy. So Gay Hendricks talks about this in his book, The Big Leap, about the zone of genius. And my partner in the leadership development company and I taught this to everybody that we worked with over the last 14 years. It's that intersection between what you're almost naturally good at and what you most enjoy doing. And that zone of excellence is a place where, well, you've experienced it, Maureen, I'm sure. It's when you're involved in work that it just time flies by. You're so absorbed and you could do it all day long and into the night and don't really get tired because it feels almost more like high play than work. Now, most people in their careers, they can't maybe eke out more than 10% of their day in their zone of genius because there's also the zone of excellence where you are stellar, but you're tired. You can get burned out. So if you can eke out a little bit of time in the zone of excellence where just you are just so engaged in enjoying it. But retirement gives you this wonderful opportunity to be able to really focus on what's my joy? What are the best things that I can bring? How do I make the biggest impact?
That's beautiful. And it reminds me of like, it feels like it's going back to the play that we maybe left in our youth that
Yes.
we're rediscovering and reclaiming.
Yes. This
Some
joy.
people keep that alive as they go along, but I know many people put it to sleep as they become adults and as they,
Yes.
and I remember my dad, he was a lawyer and he retired the first time in his 50s, and that was very young. And then I think he was restless. Then he started something else because that was his zone of genius, like you're saying, was the
Yeah.
creation phases. But he took an art class when he was 70. It was down in Florida and it was a beautiful like watercolor class. And we all have one of his paintings. He was not prolific. He was not, but he allowed himself to try something new and it became this real, a huge source of joy for him. It was cool to
There you
see.
go. That's it. That is exactly right. And I think that, there used to be a program for people, older people who are retired. Can't remember what it was called, but it was kind of a Chautauqua or an experience where people could go and be on college campuses in the summer
Okay, yes.
Learn new things. Do you remember that? I
It
don't
sounds
know.
familiar.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I think they only do it in one college now, but it used to be more widespread years and years ago. And when people have an opportunity and some time to explore what their latent gifts are and what they maybe dreamed about or played with when they were younger, and now they have the freedom to do that, they may find that it turns into a whole new career. I mean, you'd hear about the other really interesting thing is sometimes people do develop a whole new career in their third act, like your dad did, like maybe writing, writing a book or writing poetry and or playing the piano, becoming an actor, going into local theater, or you never know
You
what's going to
don't,
happen. But
right?
you're not going to even find out unless you do the work to find out who you really are.
Yeah, and I feel like, sometimes the word spiritual is not, that's not for everybody. And it happened to be in the title for Mystical Sisterhood, but what I don't even think I really thought, oh, this is what it means when I like the title came to me. But I always think of the mystical as sort of the magical, but the unknown, that which we cannot see. And for a long time, I think it was that which we could not see and therefore did not really understand. But now in life, it feels like pulling in a lot of principles of like, oh, well, let's pull that in. Like, did you know that there were infinite potentials and possibilities, right? Because we've been trained to be like, oh, these are the two things I could do. And I really appreciate what you're saying as well about that zone of genius. Because I mean, I know people who are a good friend is designing homes. I have a couple friends, and they just naturally have that ability. They did not have the degree for it, but they're going and they're really assisting people in creating beautiful spaces to live in. I never knew. You met our friend Alicia last week. Alicia was the first to suggest you could go into coaching. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous. Well, it happens to be what I love to do. And when I'm recording a podcast or when I get women together or I walk away and I didn't know how to used to answer that question, like, how could I get paid for what came naturally to me? That was a disconnect. And I think what I hear you saying too is you're also assisting people in that they're not two separate things, that they can paid or unpaid, right? But just fulfilling in your life either way.
And I do think that which you get the most joy from is the most likely the thing that will feed you in some way, if not financially.
Yeah, and I think that there's for the aging population, I think that there's such a fascination with this topic now. And the Julia Louis-Dreyfus Wiser Than Me podcast. I have not listened to all of them, but I know Jane Fonda was one of them, and her wisdom just is so beautiful. And younger generations are facing different issues, challenges than we ever did. Is that mentorship and the guidance, even for that is so needed in this world right now, like this really grounded perspectives and guidance. And those are gifts that a lot of people have that they just have no idea that they could be sharing. Yeah. Yeah. I'm
Beautiful.
fascinated with that one just because I see a deep need for it. And you can't always look to TikTok and Instagram for the answers.
No,
It's the person in front of you. Now, I get the sense that you use many different tools
I do.
in the assessment and assisting people, but what about like what are some of your favorites? And you even mentioned something like human design when we were just first chatting. But what do you is it just like a person by person basis where you are guided to what you want to pull in? And yeah, what do you love?
Well, one of the things I love is Clifton Strengths, and I think that that's highly accessible to people. It's a Gallup product, and what I've learned about Clifton Strengths is that these are hardwired. You're hardwired to have these strengths. You came in with them. And I've taken it, the Clifton Strengths, 5 times, and my top seven never vary. They're
Oh,
always the
wow.
same.
Okay.
Sometimes they might be flipped, But what the way I think about those strengths is that they're kind of like, if I'm CEO of my life, they're my board of directors, they're my C-suite, you know. And when I
Yes.
not only do I leverage them individually, but I put them together. And to do that in a very intentional way really helps me make plans and figure out what's next and be more strategic. So I have connectedness and input are my top two, and intellection is my third. And these three together, they know how to research. I mean, you can see I have thousands of books. They know how to
Yes.
research. They know how to collect information from all sources, these three strengths. I'm kind of anthropomorphizing them, but it's a way I think about it. That they're aspects of myself that help me be successful. And these strengths help me make connections and be strategic and learn what I need to learn and take in what I need to take in. And I just think the Clifton Strengths is one of those great, great things. And the Clifton Strengths also show you kind of what your blind spots are as well. And so another way to get at blind spots is the Positive Intelligence Saboteur's Test. And that's a freebie that's online. And what I learned in positive intelligence is that we all have saboteurs that often are triggered by those strengths. So an example of that would be maybe achiever is one of your great strengths. Maybe that's a top strength. Well, on overdrive, that would be considered the saboteur or hyperachiever. And when you know that there is a dark side and a light side, then your intention about using your strengths is really critical to know when you're veering into the maladaptive or the saboteur activity or behavior.
That's
So
interesting.
those are two that I really like to work with. And then I also like some of the more esoteric kinds of assessments. Human design is based on your date of birth, your time of birth, and the place of birth. And every time I run somebody's human design chart, and I've probably done, I don't know, 30 or 40 now, it is absolutely uncanny when I share the information with people. And that's one of the things that people have said. I've never been felt so seen before. I mean, how is it that this could get me so, exactly by this information? But it's useful. It's not just esoteric. It's actually very, very useful to know how do I use my energy best? How do I make decisions? How do I approach things that will work out the best for me? I mean, it was life-changing for me, for example, to understand that in human design, I'm what's known as a projector. And it helped me understand why I don't have consistent energy through the day, why I crash, a couple of times a day and have to just stop what I'm doing and go take a walk or get a drink of water or something like that. And also why I'm not usually successful when I put myself out there and ask people to work with me. Projectors wait for the invitation. And that really reassured me because I don't typically go after people. When I do, I'm usually not, people don't want to work with me. But when I just show up doing what I love doing, what I'm really good at, people somehow find me.
I can see the attraction for sure for your work, but I love that. I think that I'm a generator. I've never gone super deep with it, but I
So you
think
have
my
that consistent energy that goes all day long. You can
and
really
I
get
might
things
and
done.
I think they said the strategy was also along those lines to wait.
Yeah.
To kind of to sit back and wait, which is interesting to me because again, so many of us are conditioned to go after, go after, go after. And then if you're talking about energy, that's a very energy, like it's using a lot of energy, right? And so all the things work together. And I think that's one thing that the podcast has taught me too, is that there's meaning to everything because so many people come through. Like even when you're talking about Clifton Strengths today, I'm like, that's so incredible that this tool could have been invented X amount of years ago. And it has almost a spiritual meaning to it. Like it can really be a, something to lead and guide you, just not a corporate tool, not a, right? And that they all work together. But with human design, that there is meaning to your birth date, your birth time, where the planets aligned, all the things that I believe also are coming back online. And so it's so cool that even if human design's a newer tool per se, I feel like there's more conversations around astrology and right, just
And numerology and all of those things. You're absolutely right. And I think, okay, so now I am really hearing in what you're saying, Maureen. You're expressing that there is kind of a trend to greater openness to these kinds of tools and these kinds of conversations, even in corporate America. And I think you're right about that. My late sister was, she was in training and development, and we used to talk about these things, I mean, 25, 30 years ago, and we called them woo-woo. You know, this is really woo-woo. Okay, you know, don't better not tell them that you ran their astrology chart. But now it's so much more mainstream, and I think people are so much more open. Even people who are in pretty conservative fields, they're more open to wanting, you know, being open to learning about themselves and finding out things that this is not woo-woo so much as just tapping into who are you?
I find just when people find out more information about themselves, I mean, who doesn't love that? It's
I
like
know.
any sort of, I mean, if you're in the line of like, okay, you know how something like a medium or a channel reading might be like really far out, but then someone loses someone and they're like, someone says like, oh, I know this person. And then they do the session and then it's just like opens up these worlds. And I mean, along the lines of the conversation we're having today is sometimes in a lot of our life, we did define ourselves in more narrow ways. And then just the opening of perspectives and the giving someone a just like basic information from human design, it's like a gift, right? And I feel like I'm similar to you. I'm a different human design, but I love to gather resources. I love to provide resources. I will, when presented with a challenge, I'm going to look for that solution. And I believe they're out there, even if medicine says like, oh, we have no cure for this yet. It's like, well, wait a minute, there's got to be something. And especially with everything that's coming up these days, you were saying something about how your guidance, your own guidance that you're receiving sometimes comes into a session. But I think, is that then something like, can you say just a bit about that? And do you also foster that in your clients to pay attention to what they're getting that they might not understand is like, I mean, we could think of like a guide is handing a spirit guide or it's coming from, you know, somewhere out there and channeled through you. I don't know. I just think that this is really good conversation too, because a lot of times we think like this week, health-wise, I was getting turmeric and add turmeric to your food. And I can easily say like, oh yeah, you read that somewhere. And so therefore it's in your mind, but I don't think so. I think it's dropping in. So I get some information for my life.
So when I started thriving in the third act in 2012, I started people, my clients, on the same process that I started on, and that was to get quiet, you know, in a place of meditation, thoughtfulness, getting out of my head and just sitting quiet. And I started doing morning pages, which is the activity that Julia Cameron talks about. And I started writing those 3 pages every day, and that morphed into starting with a prompt. I know that that's not part of Julia's plan, what she shares, but my prompt was, this is what I want to say to you. And the person who was in my mind that was behind that prompt was my inner guide, my soul connection to higher mind, higher guidance, consciousness. And when I started answering that prompt, when I started writing based on, this is what I want to say to you, I started getting all kinds of information that didn't seem like it was coming from my conscious mind at all. It was not the way I talked to myself. It was loving. It was encouraging. It was reassuring. It was confident. It was not how I was feeling at the time because I was, you know, didn't have a job. And it was telling me, why don't you talk with, and I'd like for you to look at this or read that, or, you know, that book that you saw that you poo-pooed. I want you to, you should pick that up. And I realized this is not me. This is not me writing. This is something that's bigger than me or outside of me, or maybe so deep inside of me that I've never really tapped into it. And I do believe that that inner guidance is what is in place when I'm coaching people. And I do teach people how to tap into that using the process that I did. Because when we do, then our conversations in coaching become so much more rich. And I can always tell when I have asked a question or made a statement and it landed in their soul, because the person will say something like, "I can't believe you just said that," because, or, "Wow, both of us have chills, you know, full body chills," and you just know, oh, this is important. This is important. Let's tap into this. This is not random. This is something where we are tapping into something that's very deep within us that is always there. That wisdom and consciousness is always there, but we're not taught at a young age to listen to that.
No. I love that process that you're describing, though. I think I first picked up the morning pages. It was just, I'd say, a year and a half ago when a friend of mine died. And I started right around that time. And another friend had done it and partaken in it with a group at a yoga studio. But then I began to write. And you don't think that you're going to be able to write 3 pages. And it is. You have to set up special time, but
You do.
anyone who's hearing this who has heard of Julia Cameron's work or has thought about it or it's coming back around for you, I feel like it's a really rich process because then it puts us in the flow. It puts us in our creativity, our creative nature, which is so natural. But then you add the question of like, really, what am I meant to know here? And I like to sometimes do, I type fast. And so sometimes I'll try to do that process just typing on my iPad. And then sometimes I think like in my iPad, I've got it under like channeled information or channeled whatever. And no, do I walk around saying like, oh, I channel this and that? Not very often, but I think this is a place that I can safely, out myself. Because I think like many of us are not aware or even owning that we are receiving messages and things are coming through us. We don't have to know why, where, who, what, anything like that, but just that they are, you can trust it when it's of a love and light and is a beautiful reflection of yourself. It's not like distorted or tainted in any way. Then we know it's pure. We know it's coming from love, it feels like.
Yes, and don't you think, Maureen, that the more we allow that to come through, the more it does come through? It's I almost get the sense of, my higher guidance, once it has my attention, it says, "Oh, you're finally listening. Okay, so here's what I really want you to know." Up until then, I was like, "Oh, but I have to do this and that." But when you do tap into that and you do heed it and you do recognize this is bigger than me. This is a collective unconscious kind of thing. This is we all have access to it. And when we do, it's like getting into this stream of consciousness that has intelligence and insight and wisdom and overwhelming love and high regard for us. And when we're in that stream, all the guidance that comes through is positive and for our benefit. And that even means that when really tough, hard, difficult, ugly things happen, we can still ride through that. We see the higher purpose for things. We understand that everything is happening for our benefit, that we wrote the script before we even incarnated and cast the characters and set up the scene for our highest benefit. And the only way we can know that is if we can tap into that inner guidance. Otherwise, life just feels like random BS all the time, always just being buffeted by life. But when we're connected to that guidance, it feels like it's exactly what's supposed to happen all the time. Always. I love to say everything is always in divine order.
Yes, I love that. And that we are way more powerful than we were ever led to believe. That
Yeah.
we,
Yeah.
some people that I've heard it here and there called main character energy, but that to me is just, it's really like this beautiful, feminine, empowered self. And, we're kind of ending towards the end of our time together today, but let's say a moment about that because when we did meet, we did talk about the feminine aspect and what's coming in and what may have been more masculine ways of being, but how do you kind of see that or hold that or create spaces that are feminine and hold us in a feminine way?
I love the work of Rhian Eisler, who wrote The Chalice and the Blade. And I think we're in a time when the divine feminine is rising, but the divine masculine is also available for us to partner with. I think that we have just been through so many hundreds of years of the divine feminine being demonized, that these kinds of esoterica, these skills that use some of these tools, are now being appreciated and leveraged for everyone's good. And it's not just women quietly doing this spiritual work, it is men that are seeing that their lives are also enhanced
Beautiful.
in
Yeah.
this way. So
Yeah.
to me, it's humanity. It's humanity rising. And that's where we are. It's just that right now, that feminine principle is kind of leading the way in this
Yes.
rising.
Yes. That's gorgeous. That was a gorgeous description of what's happening. It's a beautiful reflection, an invitation for everyone, for all,
Yeah.
to be both in the healthy feminine and in the healthy masculine.
Yeah.
And that's also where we're headed. So,
Yeah, it's emancipation is what it is. It's allowing us choice and freedom to really live our why, to live our purpose in whatever realm is calling to us, our joy in life. And that has nothing to do with gender.
Right. And that we don't, I was just talking with a woman this morning about how, again, back to that definition of what we were, because she was saying, like, I never knew that I had the feminine in me, that I, she just didn't define herself that way at all. And now it's like, even for men, like understanding that they have the feminine side. We all have both sides, right? And that we can operate from them with less of a risk than, and many people would say, Maureen, oh gosh, what are you talking about? Now there's more of a risk, but that's not the story that I'm in.
No, I don't think so. I'd love to take a peek at life 100 years from now and to see how balanced the sexes are, because I think they will. I think they will be.
That's beautiful. Yeah. As we kind of, round out our time together, is there anything that is coming to you in addition to what you've shared, Mickey, around a message that might be important for anyone listening, a message that could be important for anyone considering their third act? I don't know, whatever's coming through you.
If I haven't said it, I think probably the most important thing is for someone who's heading into retirement is they make sure that they spend time with themselves. You know, I think back to that road trip I took for 3 weeks alone by myself in my car, and what a gift that was. You know, so how wonderful that my husband was, whatever you need to do, do it. Because hours and hours and hours on the road by myself, grappling with and being able to speak out loud and yell and cry and ask questions and wait for answers and answer those questions while I'm driving down the road. It just the gift of being with yourself when you're in transition. Because I think sometimes what we tend to do is go look for resources, go find who can help me, who can help me. You can help you. Your higher self has just been waiting for you to sit down and be quiet and let's work together.
Yes, beautiful. And what is the best way to find you or reach you if someone were to just, want to get a hold of you and talk to you or be in conversation?
Thrivinginthethirdact.com.
Okay. Thrivinginthethirdact.com. And I will put that in the show notes. Thank you so much. What an inspiring conversation.
You're welcome. Thank you,
And
Maureen.
yes, thank you to the listeners as always. And we'll see you in the next episode. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.